afternoon. Claudia Newman for Escala Homeowners.
Courtney Kaler and David Cartman for the applicant.
And Liza Anderson for the department.
All right, thank you, counsel. I have a few things to go over today. I believe all counsel are well familiar with. We'll be looking at pre-hearing motions, identifying number of witnesses and exhibits anticipated for the hearing. And, of course, we'll identify hearing dates and exchange of exhibit dates as well. Are there other items that the parties have to address as part of today's pre-hearing conference?
This is Courtney Kaler. We'll be seeking clarification on some of the appeal issues.
Okay. All right. We're here for a second round.
So different proposal.
Okay. That's helpful to know. I know the parties, the representatives, and I've looked at some of the issues, but not close enough to not really have a feel for it. I did have a question. This actually came up. This has come up a couple times recently in one case before my deputy, Friends of Chiesti, where there were there was a DNS or a DNS that had been returned and then came back again on appeal. And then Ms. Kaler was in a recent case, Seattle Mobility Coalition. And there were issues there that were the same, and they came back, and there was argument raised about res judicata. I don't know if that's an issue here or not, and I'm by raising it, I don't intend at all to make any dictation as to the validity of these arguments where they are. But it's a question I had in my mind just seeing the same parties.
So I don't think the applicant is the same, and it's actually on the same block, but two different. It's a different site location.
Okay.
And so I think we might have a completely different applicant than. And I don't know if you know which we're referring to, but the fifth in Virginia.
We do have a different applicant.
Mm-hmm. That sounds. At least on the blush of that, if there's going to be argument raised, around, I won't quash that. But
there's
at least what on the face of that, it seems radically different from the last case. If you have different parties,
very similar issues though. Yeah,
which is fine. Obviously, that doesn't raise issues of race judicata between new parties. Thank you. Another just initial question I had too is: has there been any opportunity for the parties to be in communication with each other, either for purposes of settlement or mediation?
There has not to date, but the parties can certainly.
I think
have those discussions.
There's been. It seems like there's potential because the issues are pretty focused. And I think there's been some attempts at communication directly between the applicant and my client without the attorneys involved. I don't know the details of those, but I do think it's worth talking about continuing those.
I don't control that or have any jurisdiction over it, but I do like to remind parties as an opportunity, either for the entire case or even if there's a list of issues, if there are some issues that might be able to be addressed. Harkening back to the other Escala case, not to pick on any in this case, then, for example, if there had been a way to resolve the loading dock before we all got here, but we still argued about the light access, that'd be fine. That's a good use of this system. If that's possible here between the parties, I certainly encourage it. Settlement among the capable counsel here and the individuals involved is certainly an opportunity. Another opportunity is that through the Office of Hearing Examiner, we work with the King County Interlocal Conflict Resolution Group. If any one party wants to take advantage of that, just contact my legal assistant, Galen Edlin Cho, and say, yeah, we're interested in that, so please start the process. We call the interlocal. They call all the representatives and see if there's interest.
Okay.
And it can be scheduled from there. I think right now we're looking at a likely date of maybe just for availability's sake, without looking at any other issues, mid-January for a hearing. So there could certainly be time for these conversations to occur.
Okay. Thank you.
And again, I leave that in your capable hands. Let's turn to the item of issue clarification. Let's start off with that. You got questions?
I do have questions. Yes, thank you. So As I read the appeal, the issues, as Ms. Newman, I think, has just stated, are pretty limited, but there are some issue statements that where it's not entirely clear to me that limit is incorporated, so I want to confirm. Issue claim number one under SEPA raises issues relating to transportation and specifically alley operations. Issue number two, and I guess in the notice of appeal, it starts on page 3, and I'm talking about section 2, item 1A, is transportation alley operations. Item 1B is potential impacts to environmental impacts and human health based on potential contamination at the property. Those are the only two elements of the environment that I see identified in the appeal, and so it's my assumption.
That's right.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that clarification. Mm-hmm. Just so then it's my assumption that as we move.
Well, I mean, can I just make one? I want to note that it says public facilities as well, which is a separate element of the environment in A.
In 1A.
So I wouldn't call that just transportation because there's a public facility aspect to that.
Certainly. So public impacts to transportation or public facilities as it relates to alley operations.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you. And so then as we move through the SEPA issues, it's my assumption that I want to confirm that issues that are more broadly stated, for example, if we move down to item E, that would be notice of appeal, page 4, and so we are under subsection 2, 1E. And so for 2.1E, F, G, J, K, and L,
G,
E, F, G, J, K, and L,
mm-hmm.
These were all more generally stated issues
mm-hmm.
relating to SEPA, but it's my assumption based on A and B that we're not going to get different elements of the environment being raised during hearing under one of these subheadings. For example, the question of, I'll just pick one of them, any one of them, I think. Looking at the first one, looking at E, we're talking about the scope of procedural disclosure analysis of impacts, and so I wouldn't expect that then during the hearing analysis of impacts on light and glare would be raised as an issue, for example.
So I would, if I could have time to look at this more closely, can I respond at a different time to that
yeah,
in more detail?
Okay. That, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I understand your question, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's been a request are there any other questions that you want to raise now as long as we're having this conversation, or was that?
There are a couple other items
there's
similar requests for clarification,
right.
And I guess just in addition to this being a request for clarification, it's my understanding that the time for amending the appeal has passed and that any time for adding new allegations about different elements of the environment has passed. So I couch my request for clarification in those terms.
Well, I want to clarify the reason I'm hesitating is that there are issues, for example, that there has not been an adequate alternatives analysis performed, which is a broader issue that would talk to all elements of the environment. You have to look at alternatives with respect to every element of the environment, and we don't necessarily have to say that there are significant adverse impacts. It's the city has already concluded as a matter of law that there are significant adverse impacts on every single element of the environment, so that's a separate issue.
And we're not asking for clarification on subsection M, which would be alternatives.
Okay, so you're just limiting it to E, F, G, J, K, and L.
Let me make sure. Yes, and
okay.
those were the subsections where I felt there was some ambiguity.
Okay.
Similar request with regard to the design review guidelines. And so the claims regarding design review start on page 6 of the Notice of Appeal, section 2. And in 2A, it's clear that it's clear that the design guideline that's being questioned is compliance with C6, which has to do with alley design. In D and E, my assumption based on A is that we're similarly talking about guideline C6, and that in the appeal, some other allegation of inconsistency with a different guideline that hasn't been identified wouldn't be raised.
Okay. I'll look at that.
Okay. And then
that's 2D.
That would be 2D and E.
So I see the general reference to downtown Belltown and design review guidelines in D. What are we referring to in E?
I appreciate that. This actually is a counterpart to one of the SEPA issues. Mm. And so I would expect with regard to E that if we're talking about conditions or mitigation that appellant believes should have been imposed, that condition, those conditions or mitigation would relate to the two buckets of SEPA issues they've raised, alley operations or hazardous contamination, as opposed to
aesthetics or land use. Right,
exactly.
I understand. I'm 80% sure it is, but I just want to double check and think about it.
Thank you. And then finally, with regard to 3, this is the appeal of the code interpretation. The appeal incorporates by reference the request for code interpretation, which obviously gives us some information but doesn't identify specific errors in the decision, which came after the request. And it would be helpful for us just to know, are there specific elements of the interpretation decision?
It's a little confusing because there was an interpretation decision that came out and we're not appealing that.
Okay.
So that was, there's, two, and this may, so.
Perhaps I'm lacking in some background.
It's a little
here.
Confusing because, and can I
please
just feel, okay. Long ago, I filed on behalf of Escala a request for interpretation related to a decision to allow a curb cut off of Fifth Avenue that would allow cars to go in a parking lot. That was a decision on that was issued at the same day that the MUP decision was issued. We are not appealing that. We have filed a new request for interpretation. Which is totally separate and distinct from that. We have because of the issues with the alley, we believe that it's good to have the cars not have fewer cars on the alley, and so the curb cut makes sense. So we haven't challenged that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That is something I did not understand.
Was that clear to the city too? Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm Bill Mills, also with the City of Seattle. The concept here is that Ms. Newman has requested an interpretation at the point of appeal, and when we do that, she's required to appeal it at the same time as the request.
Which is very strange, by the way.
Because we don't know what the answer will be in advance of that.
Yeah.
So we need to talk about the timing for that.
Okay.
Providing that interpretation, that needs to be set up.
But we can set aside the existing.
Thank you.
It is confusing. I've never run into that before. But
I don't need any more clarification
okay.
of three.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
That was a clarification. I
that
suppose.
Was a true
yeah.
clarification.
Newman, how much time do you need to respond to the request for clarification?
Just maybe Monday. Would that
it's
work?
Up to you.
Monday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ideally within a week.
Yeah, I can. It shouldn't take me long.
Let's say Tuesday.
Okay.
Monday's a holiday, so.
Oh right.
Probably not for you.
Wait, no, I don't know.
November
12th. They all merge.
Right.
November 12th.
November 12th, appellants will provide a response
and
to the request for clarification.
Would an email be adequate?
Yes.
Or, okay. And would you like to see the response? Or
yeah. Well.
Okay.
Yes. We will. We'll put it in the record. So.
Okay.
It'll actually, if you could file it on.
Okay. Then
on
I'll do it more formally.
Online, that'd be great.
Okay. I'll do it on pleading.
Format. It's up to you. But,
oh, maybe a letter. Okay. I'll figure that out.
Okay. There could always be some response or challenge. So.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. The next two, I've understood now that there's an interpretation that's been requested and is not out yet. Do you have a time of when that might be provided? Or?
Well, I always feel like that's somewhat subject to negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
It depends a little bit on when the hearing will be set. Soon in advance you all feel that you need to see the interpretation.
Okay. Well, let's hold that for a second. Let me check on motions, pre-hearing motions, because if that's going to be included in that, then that'll dictate that. Are any parties anticipating filing pre-hearing motions?
It is,
you?
It is possible that the city may file some pre-hearing motions to address a subset of issues. Not wouldn't dismiss the whole matter, but
okay.
I won't.
If a time for pre-hearing motions is included in the schedule, regardless, we would like to reserve the ability to file them. If not, I mean, we would just reserve our right to raise legal issues in the briefing. So it sounds like probably we will include them in the schedule. And in that case, if they're included in the schedule, we'd like to reserve the right to make them. But at this moment, independently, we don't have any motions we would intend to make.
Okay. I can write the pre-hearing order such that no one's bound. Even the appellants could file a motion if they wanted on a particular day. But we will set a date. So we have a schedule for those so they don't just show up just before the hearing or something like that. If appellant chooses to file at that time, they can or not. City, well, I guess first question I have, is the motion going to relate to anything regarding the interpretation? So does that have to come out and be reviewed? And do we have to have those issues before us before you file your motion?
No, I don't think so, no.
Okay. So it can move independently. Outside
yeah,
the schedule.
I'm not anticipating anything related to the interpretation because
okay.
I don't know what that's going to look like. So.
All guessing. Right? Okay. In that case, when would you anticipate being prepared to file your motion? And I shouldn't let the parties know. So I think I mentioned that we're probably looking at mid-January for a hearing date concerning pre-hearing motions and activity. I will be out of the office from November 21st to December 3rd. November 21st to December
3rd. Well-deserved.
So as far as timing of having things come in, obviously it can come in while I'm gone, but if there's disputes that come up during that time or if you're expecting a response or a decision on a motion, it won't be coming until after that.
So if the city could...
And one other party just got in, and they're going to have to reply due December 3rd, so you're already in line behind another
okay.
motion at this point.
Okay.
And can I just make one other, if possible, and I assume this is what we're planning, but if we could submit, when we're submitting our preliminary or final exhibit and witness list, that they be timed so that thereafter we know what issues we're facing with respect to the response on the statutory interpretation, because, you know, it's conceivable that we may not pursue those issues if there, if
or a limited number or something.
Or a limited number,
right.
Yeah. And
yes.
Okay.
Typically, the exhibit and witness lists will be due, no, at most for the appellant, it'll be 2 weeks before the first
hearing. Okay. Okay.
That's sort of the standard practice, and then 1 week before for the respondents. So that'll be dictated by the hearing date, but we can move that around too if, once we get there.
Okay. So I don't think the city can file its motion before the 21st. So it would have to come the December 4th or 5th.
Your choice.
Okay. How about
it? It'd be the 6th. It's entirely up to you.
December 4th.
That's the opening, and I'm not going to get to it really until.
Okay. December 4th.
The dust settles. All right.
In the interest of scheduling, can I ask a question? It seems as if the party's briefing could occur while the examiner is out.
It could. It
absolutely.
Could. So right. I guess that's fine. So
right.
I guess we could. I could go ahead and file it.
So we'll set November 25th for the due date for motions from any party. That's the opening for that. It doesn't sound like it's a summary judgment. Our rules provide for 7 days response to motions. I like to give more time if it's, for example, going to be a summary judgment motion or something along those lines, but it doesn't sound, is it more fact intense or is it more legal issues?
More legal issues.
I just want to note that the Thanksgiving weekend is falling right during the response time.
Okay.
So I would
let's accommodate that.
Okay.
We've got November 25th. They're due losing a couple of days at least for the holiday. Is that the 28th? Yes, 28th. And so if you were to be due on the 4th?
Oh.
I'm sorry, no. Yeah, that's right. So it was a week.
Could we do the 5th?
And for a reply, Ms. Anderson, do you want to do the following Tuesday, the 10th?
Let's look. If it could be the 11th, that would be great.
Mm-hmm. Start with the appellants then and ask how many witnesses do you anticipate at this time? And I'm just
approximately at the most 5,
okay.
I think, maybe 4.
Right. And how many documents for exhibits do you?
That's a more difficult question.
Tens
what was that? Tens or hundreds? Tens, maybe, yeah, not hundreds as far as, I mean, you know, documents might be big, but not
mm-hmm.
hundreds of individual documents. Of my own, I mean, so my exhibits, typically I rely heavily on
okay.
the city's exhibits. So when I'm saying that number, I'm kind of including.
So in this case, there'll be overlap.
Yeah.
Think?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We would anticipate 4 applicant witnesses
mm-hmm.
in addition to city staff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably 4 or 5 city staff people, I think. And similarly, exhibits in the tens, not
mm-hmm.
in hundreds.
Okay.
And did you say 4 applicants?
4 applicant
yeah.
witnesses.
Okay.
And that's assuming that the issues are limited
right.
in the way that I'm assuming that they're limited.
And Ms. Newman, were your 5 in addition to city staff? They're your sole
right.
Witnesses.
It would be maybe 2 experts and a couple lay witnesses.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ms. Anderson?
And the city would expect that there would probably be 4 or 5 witnesses, city staff.
Could get into 4 days.
Maybe. We always go over what I think we're going to do. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible we can get away with 3, but I think with
I guess
almost 15. somewhere south of that. I think 4 days could be not even enough.
Well, and from the city side, I guess it does depend on interpretation.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, no one's held to that. I think if we went with 4 days, is that
I think that's
adequate to
definitely adequate.
I would hope we'll come in under that.
Right.
Yeah.
I just like to set it because, as you know, with our schedule, once it gets there, then
mm-hmm.
we're looking at another 30 before you get the one to make up. Okay. Looking to dates, then. We could start. Start on the 15th and continue for a second day on the 16th, and then.
So I'm already running into problems with those dates.
Okay.
I don't know.
So at least one of those dates you're not.
Well, what I did is I collected all the blockout dates from my experts and from my client
okay.
and for me, and the week of the 13th is blocked out.
Okay. How does Tuesday the 21st?
Works.
Okay, so my apologies. What?
Of January 2020.
For the city. Unfortunately, we have a witness out through the 22nd.
Could that witness go on the 23rd or 27th?
I'm assuming they'd have to listen to.
Yeah, probably. I think we can get somebody to listen and fill in.
All right. So, could you confirm any conflicts with the 21st through 23rd?
I have.
For that week, at least. That gives us 3 days if we can get anything.
I have a key witness out on the 24th.
That's okay. I was actually going to propose going to the next Monday.
Okay.
So at least for those 3 days, 21, 22, 23, we're good so far, right? So we've got 3 days. If we went to the following Monday, the 27th, for our final day.
That same witness is out on Monday.
How long are they out?
Just Monday.
Tuesday?
They're available Tuesday.
Okay. So if we set the hearing dates for January 21, 22, 23, and 28. Looks like that works for everyone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Working back from that, we need to set a dates for the exchange of witness and exhibit lists and exchange of exhibits.
Can I ask, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Would everyone be available the 28th through 31st?
Yes.
Yes.
We're all going to get invites to my stakeholder meeting for why council wants a CEPA meeting to see if we're hearing something faster. That would be fine with me.
Okay.
Works
okay.
For your schedules.
Yes.
So,
thank you.
28th, 29th, 30th, and 31st. All right. Okay. Now let's look back from there for our witness and exhibit lists. Appellant, January 14. Respondents, January 21.
before we set that, let's also talk about the interpretation, because that needs to be completed at least 5 days before hearing, and I think, Claudia, you were asking for it to be issued in advance of the witness and exhibit list.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Does that seem
doable?
No, I could do that. I mean, I'm sorry, if you're asking me, I'm mm-hmm. assuming, yeah, that I would have enough time if I had a week to decide on witnesses and exhibits, if
okay.
I had it. Thank you.
Okay. If for some reason you're not in that, then simply make a note of that on the 14th,
if
so that we know you're
oh, that we
need more time
okay, okay.
To figure out interpretation witnesses. Certainly for SEPA and others, we'd expect them all on that date, but knowing that the interpretation comes in within a week, that could
Thank you.
Possibly create an issue. And just let us know when you're going to get to it. All right.
And this is Courtney Kaler. I have one, I guess, clarification of my request for clarification. We had discussed the issue relating to alternatives, which is issue 1F, thank you, 1M. And on this issue, as with the others, I understand this to be a challenge to the scope of the alternatives. What I would expect is that it, in this issue, as with the others, there would not be a claim that a different alternative should have been considered to address impacts that haven't been raised in the appeal otherwise. So land use impacts or light and glare impacts, that there wouldn't be, that this issue would not create the avenue for introduction of evidence on significant adverse impacts in areas of the environment that have not been identified in the
well,
appeal.
Yeah, I mean, I can answer that later, but
yes,
okay.
And more generally, as you understand,
you're lumping in M with all the other ones, is what you're trying
yes.
to what you're saying.
And
okay,
just kind of globally, we're trying to be sure that we know what's going to be raised in during the appeal, so that we can have the appropriate witnesses and exhibits.
Okay, I understand. I mean, if I do I understand that basically now we have M added to the list
sure.
of what you, okay.
Yeah, thank you.
That you're responding to with a clarification.
Right.
If there's any issue that comes out of that, that needs to be tied into the motion calendar.
Right.
If she doesn't like your response.
Yeah,
she
has
to.
Right. In English.
Right.
All right.
Okay. All right, I'm going to go back through the dates that we have. Is there anything else that we need to address before I do that?
Can I just make sure I have it right that we're still approaching this the same way you approach all the hearings, with the way the exhibits are coming in, and there's been no changes in your process? As far as we don't exchange hard copies of exhibit, when we do the exhibit list, we just exchange the exhibit list. Oh, and we do exchange hard copies,
right, so
but we don't provide them to you.
You don't provide
we
them to the
still give them to you during the
and
hearing.
And you also do not have need to provide copies to each other of documents that you all already have.
Okay, so it's
the
same. The
decision, the EIS, those things.
Okay.
Everybody knows, everybody has those, so
okay.
we don't need to just generate work around that.
Right, okay.
And then
I did forget to ask, do the parties want to agree to electronic service?
Yes.
Yes.
And do you have any preference? I recall that when I've had hearings with you, I've handed you a stack of documents, and it didn't seem to be the best way to do it. Do you like having a binder of things, or?
It depends on how. It depends on the ability of counsel to really prepare that. I've had a variety of things passed to me, and some. On one end of the spectrum, somebody will give me a notebook that's in that can be very useful for me to even use your numbers as my exhibit numbers to start out with, if that's the order it goes in. That's one end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
On the other end, I get a stack of documents that we have to fish through and find the right one. That's not really what would work.
Okay.
So some type of organization when they come in is helped, instead of just having us have all the documents
right.
and fishing through my copies of notebooks and stuff.
Okay.
As you know, there's a whole spectrum of what can occur
right.
in a hearing, though. So
right.
There's no
I just
want
to make sure it was all this, nothing
mm-hmm.
had changed. And
all right. I'll go back through the dates then. We have first the appellant respond with to issue clarification on November 12th. We have the motions calendar will be set for all parties. Any motion must be filed by November 25th. Any response must be in by December 5th. Any reply must be December 11th. And we have the interpretation coming from the department on January 7th. Helen's exhibit and witness list are due and exhibits to be exchanged on January 14th. Corresponding requirement for respondents on January 21st. And then we have 4 days of hearing set for January 28th through the 31st. And parties have agreed to electronic service. Any of those dates incorrect? Anything else that we need to do? Okay. All right.
That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.